Good afternoon and welcome again to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. We are here with yet another exciting and interesting discussion. Interesting is low-key depressing. And
you're calling it exciting because you were like, I was like,
yeah, I know.
I hope you saw the comparisons.
I'll just use one title. I already gave away half of my surprise.
Okay.
E-titles. Land ownership, man. E-titles. E-titles? That's a thing? It turns out in Rwanda it is, basically what we're going to be talking about here. Today our discussion is based on the report coming out of the National Council on their visit to Rwanda, and it's one of those things that we have been through these reports on different, standing committees, although this one is the first one coming out of that's not coming out of, an entity with the title of a parliamentary standing committee of something. This report coming out of the National Council.
Yeah. Well, they also have a similar...
substructures?
No, long name-ish. They call themselves the... What is it? Well, it's one of the oversight committees, basically. But at least they come from the second house. So if people want to understand what the National Council is, if you don't know, our parliament is a bicameral system. You've got two houses.
And it has nothing to do with selfies.
It's just chambers, that's all.
It's just chambers. The report of the National Council Standing Committee on Transport, Infrastructure and Housing on a benchmark visit to the Parliament of Rwanda from 21st to the 28th of September last year. And I know they say, the Standing Committee on Transport Infrastructure. Well, this transport infrastructure, the transport part, I know we're going to basically talk about, land use, land laws, and what they tried and failed and what they changed it to, and then 2004, they implemented a series of reforms that have seemed to have worked positively for them. Now, I know what and by the way, us talking about, to some degree, transport has nothing to do with a government vehicle that was stuck or, pothole. It has nothing to do with that. It's just land use, infrastructure in general.
Some people will come beat us up really, man.
We have two doors. I hope these glasses are bulletproof.
You are dragging in discussions.
I'm fishing at this point.
I can literally see people showing up. Say, yeah. Jela Valmos.
This is one of those interesting comparisons. But one thing to put in mind that is also, you find also in the report is, it's important to put in mind the difference between these two countries.
Yeah.
Land mass. We have a lot of space compared to them. I mean, their country can fit in a Rongo region.
And in Gomas even.
Their country can fit in Comas region.
Yeah, and that's one of
With 13 million. What?
Yeah. Now imagine if Comas had all those little towns around the capital Phintu.
Yeah.
Now we are 3 million people.
We are 3 million.
Spread over 824,000 square kilometers. They are only... Let me just read my thing again. I think it's like 20-something thousand, which is literally the size of Comas.
Yeah.
Close to. Rongo, like you said.
Yeah. The comparison I used online is one of Rongo. Comas.
Yeah.
It's basically the size of Comas.
Basically, yeah.
That is housing 13 million. Now, talk about land issues. These guys have a serious land issue, not us. Now we just have to bring about a series of reforms. So now that one, on the other hand, was a brilliant, brilliant analysis, looking at it from a policy wise, what they had to implement, Up until, when was that, you know, up until 2004, much of the land was in the, you know, was in the hands of the state.
Yeah.
So they had to bring about a series of reforms which enabled private ownership in terms of citizenship.
But here's the thing, Helmut. What is the issue in a Namibian context? We are trying to get people... No, we are trying to get... Wait. In a Namibian context,
I know, right?
It is not so clear because you highlighted something key, that the state sat with too much land, which technically...
Yeah, we are sitting with way too much land compared to Rwanda.
No, but in their scenario, remember... It was the state sitting with all the land.
Terms of ownership. Yeah,
that the report highlights. Yeah. The scenario in a Namibian context is that we don't really understand what is the best path forward in terms of how land or the land reform policies or the land reform discussion should take place, because nothing technically has still been implemented from the land conference report.
And we've only had two...
And that is the ancestral land discussion.
Yeah.
And the ancestral land discussion is tied to Namibia's colonial history.
Not to
the South African part of Namibia's colonial history, to everything up until 1920.
We have a two land tenure system.
Yeah.
They only have one.
Hence the reason why I asked you. To this, it was straightforward.
Yeah, it's straightforward. We are not dealing with commercial or communal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, we're sitting literally with a conundrum of what is the best scenario. And then remember, something that I found out also in last week, the issue around whether or not the start of the mass housing scheme had actually yielded any particular initial results, whether positive or negative, is still to understand the impact of that mass housing, this particular schemes and discussions. Because the thing you and I would have asked is, was there a supply of new homes, expansion of urban areas taking place? And remember, that's still in this report. They obviously, the Rwandan side of things.
Yeah, the housing
side of things. But,
It rang a lot of Dwight bells on the apartment parts.
It's not just that, Helmut.
Yeah.
So many things work in other countries. They've got more people than us. We have more resources than them. But it's as if we don't know what World Cup we are playing, or what kind of a cup football situation we're in, or what sport code we're participating in, because we seem to forget that there are rules.
Look, man, when it comes to land observation, land distribution observation, if you ask me, I think picking a country with a equivalent land mass to Namibia would have been a brilliant idea.
Mm.
Because, it's pointed out in the report.
Yeah.
Rwanda's population is projected to reach 22 million by 2050. Their land is not going to expand.
No. Unless they are they are next
had to go
from
there.
Listen, Helmut, there are Tutsi people there. There is an issue happening between DRC and Rwanda.
Yeah, which is more tribal. It's not one that we can assist. You know, it's not, actually there are more bombs exploding than discourse.
Yeah.
Because, at this point, looking at the population projection, and it's projected to increase from 13 million, give or take, to 22 million in 2050. That means they are going to have an even much bigger problem in terms of land. Us on the other hand, we seem to have it the other way around. Our population is just 3 million. They are 13 million.
Yeah.
We need another 10 million to catch up with them.
Okay, but
we have a large landmass and a small population. They have a large population and small landmass.
But remember, Helmut, we have two deserts in our borders. They have no deserts. You can't live in one desert. It's just a bunch of protected
government land.
Still, let me remind you, Dwight. Commerce.
I know. Amur. But the discussion here is one of, even if you try to look at the, let's once again play the make-believe game that we sometimes play.
Yeah.
You know, let's look at the utopian outlet of what they're doing. Remember, you highlighted that they've got also got a growing population.
Yeah.
But associated to that growing population was that 2011 policy. But before we do, we've got an ad break creeping up on us.
Yeah. JSB. Namibia, it's time to dream big with JSB Sports. The mega giveaway 2025 is here with a massive 1 million Namibian dollars in total prizes to be won. Here's how to win. With every losing bet on our sports book of 20 Namibian dollars or more, you're automatically entered into the draw. That's right. Even when luck isn't on your side, you still have a chance to win big. Back your favorite teams, take your best shot, and let your losses turn into an opportunity for glory. Don't miss out. Visit jsbsports.bet. Place your bets and be part of the action. JSB Sports. Bet with the best.
JSB supports responsible gambling and is not for persons under the age of 18.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Welcome back. We continue.
Yeah, where we left off. So, remember, the report itself highlights that Rwanda is facing a rapid population expansion issue. You highlighted we would need an extra even to get close to the issues they are probably experiencing.
Yeah, population-wise. Yeah.
To experiencing today, we would have to get to their level. But, Helmut, here's the thing. You can see that their level is associated to their country size, which you also answered, saying, remember, commas.
Yeah.
Hence the reason, in a Namibia's case, we have a lot more room to grow. But then the conundrum comes back to, like you said a little bit earlier, an argument I've been making since the start of this year. What are Namibia's local authorities, not the regional, the local authorities, but also include the regionals? Because there's only one regional authority you and I, we focused on last year, which was the State of the Region address that was done by, what's her name?
Aletta
Frederick
from Karas region, yeah.
But hers was State of the Region Development Scenario or something like that. It was oddly aimed and named differently than the other regions.
Yeah.
Now, we know what's going on in Karas, so we can forget about Karas. Karas will always have that population, it's almost like sparsely populated feature.
Yeah.
They will always have it, Helmut, because the biggest issue with the Karas region is the Sperrgebied, the area around Lüderitz that you can't enter.
Yeah.
Now, that's a big tract of land. Now, that was also declared as a national park. It's a big tract of land. Remember that.
Yeah.
That expands all the way down to Oranjemund as well. So, you're literally sitting with two urban areas in the Karas region that are literally cut off from the Karas region, from the Karas region's particular whole, even if you throw around, mass housing, let's go with the policies that exist.
Yeah.
Mass housing, it'll be an issue for those two towns. Continuous development, it'll be an issue for those two towns because those two towns have to look at, can they expand their town limits, their urban area limits in order to accommodate growth. Now, Lüderitz will do this, Helmut, because Lüderitz will have a massive manufacturing base, which will be the green hydrogen. So they will have to apply for more land. And it will encroach onto the Sperrgebied, literally that cordoned off land that you can't just go walk around there. Remember that.
I've heard you explain that before, but one more time. Why? Is it because of natural resources?
Because when the diamonds were discovered,
oh, yeah.
the Germans cordoned it off. The South Africans came, they inherited it like that. The Germans that were living there motivated to the South Africans. The South Africans went like, oh, okay.
Make it an off-limit area.
Yeah, and the South Africans went, okay, now we understand. It's a good idea. And then CDM was started. CDM obviously led to the now, which is now the Namdeb company.
Yeah.
So for people to understand that, that area, piece of land, was there to ensure, you know, you can't go walking, you can't go barefoot ninjaing there in the bush, feeling in touch with nature.
Okay,
and all that.
Okay. Now, just a little bit on that. Was there a survey done so that we can be sure that this place is littered with diamonds? Therefore, we don't want people walking around, so they pick one, and we have rampant illegal diamond sales going on. Or this is just something that was just inherited from one colonial power to the next, and then we're just
going. The second answer. Remember. That
so we just crossed our fingers and hope, you know, that it's somewhere there. We haven't done any type of survey to gather information to know that actually these resources are here, and therefore we have to coordinate off.
Exactly.
What the heck?
Yeah. And then you also have, and that's why I told you, just look at the conundrum that Oranjemund and Ludritz will sit with. Our president recently when she was in Mozambique, where was the other state visit that she went to?
Okay, she was in Angola.
She was in Angola.
Wasn't she in Botswana?
She was in Botswana.
Zimbabwe.
I think it's the Angola one, where she called for where she reiterated that Namibia is for, that she supports the MOU that was signed between Namibia and Zambia specifically. But she said it, I think she said it in Angola or in Zambia or in Mozambique, one of the three countries. She made this particular comment. That Namibia is for the continuation and development of the pipeline that would run from Oranjemund to Zambia. Now, remember our discussions from the IBS, the Industrial Baseline Survey?
Yeah.
Now, that obviously means it takes away a whole lot of local content policy, local content participation, and local mineral beneficiation. Because one of the particular things was obviously factoring back to the Iran discussion that you and I also had last year, was that the Iranian ambassador in Windhoek said, you know, we can help you, Namibia, with developing a oil refinery.
Yeah.
China has also highlighted the same thing. They can also help Namibia with an oil refinery. But if refining is going to take place in Zambia only, is it the final play? We don't know. Remember, based upon the IBS, we're still looking at 20, like, okay, you jokingly said yesterday 2040.
Uh-huh.
Usually our estimations were 2035.
Yeah, 2035.
After 2035.
That would be like the introduction to the...
That is just opening up the tap.
Us getting into full swing in terms of, in terms of production sales, I'm going to stick to 2040. And, you know, I don't want to keep my hopes up.
I mean, because even with the Mossadegh issue of the 1950s.
Yeah.
Was in the 60s also, because he was also prime minister into the 60s. Mossadegh's aim was to try and install those refineries in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Because the oil was just being pumped and shipped
to the British.
To the British refineries.
Yeah.
Or to where the British petroleum companies were refining the oil. So the aim is obviously, you can see how long that took them. That probably was another 20 years until the oil crash, the global oil crash of the 1970s.
Yeah.
I remember because my mom used to tell us about that story, what happened. And that was purely just something that the Americans had caused.
Just like the financial crisis of 2008.
Yeah. It's always something that the Americans caused. But it happened that the OPEC countries went like, nah. It was something associated once again, to everyone's favorite black sheep in the Middle East, Israel. It was one other event. And then the OPEC countries, which were predominantly Arab nations, went like, nah.
Yeah, nah, we can't
nah,
do this.
We're closing the taps here. And then all the Western economies and the United States were like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? So, if we look at these particular scenarios, the development pathway. That's why I said a little bit earlier at the start of our discussion. It's like Namibia does not know what sport code they're participating in to adapt to the relevant sports rules of the sport code. Because remember, each sport has a rule.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're in renewable energy development, like our talk of yesterday, you're going to play to the rules of renewable energy development. If you're in nuclear energy development, you're going to play to that rules. If you're in fossil fuels, you're going to play to that rules. Yeah. So we've got so much, Helmut, we don't know what path or what policy or what particular legislation to position in order to see the best results being generated. But here's the thing. Now, this is the crux of everything. At the heart of everything, the basic resource of everything,
Yeah. You
have one commodity.
Which is?
Land.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to build the infrastructure of the future, né?
Yeah.
Which includes for oil, which includes for green hydrogen, which includes for renewable energy, Yeah. Which includes for the demand. Because remember, Luderitz needs to upgrade its airport. Helmut, when the wind blows in Luderitz, né?
Mm-hmm.
Ask any Luderitz native. It's literally you are playing basketball in the dunes. That's what your runway looks like in the Luderitz. But Keetmanshoop has technically a dormant piece of infrastructure standing in Keetmanshoop.
Maritime?
Keetmanshoop, land-based.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about the airport.
Okay, so they're playing basketball in the dunes. You're talking about
it's a metaphor. I'm used to.
I know. A ball is not gonna bounce.
Yeah, it's not gonna bounce. Yeah.
So, are you referring to the dust when the
wind stands up in Luderitz?
Yeah.
Because Luderitz has
a wind, hence the reason behind the green energy generation
installation there.
Yeah.
So, I've seen a photo of the runway of the Luderitz airport. Helmut, it looks like someone forgot to sweep the sand for the past 50 years.
And when you're dealing with aeroplanes.
Yeah, you need a clear runway.
Yeah.
So even if you can imagine a scenario where the biggest sandstorms would take place, like Dubai, maybe, the question has always been the infrastructure has to be up to the challenge in order to facilitate unhindered or to a lesser extent of inconvenience, that the service is still being provided.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's why I said to you. And Luderitz and Keetmanshoop stands with a dormant piece of infrastructure that was built there pre-independence by the South Africans.
Just revamp it.
No, yeah, but it was used predominantly, that's most of the discussion that was told to the PDM excursion party back in 2020, was it last year, 2024? Or 2023. When was the court debacle about the airport services between the South African company and the Namibian company?
Wasn't that last year?
Wasn't that 2023? It began in 2023.
Yeah.
So then PDM decided to have this impromptu visit to the Namibia Airports Company head office. They've got almost two. One is at the airport and one is mm-hmm. here in town.
Yeah.
To go and visit the CEO and his management at the airport to understand the situation of, you know, cargo handling and, you know, what was this legal challenge discussion all about. And then we were literally just two journalists, me and, he might beat me up when he finds me. Me and Ohono Klage from NMH. We were the only two people. Only two journalists there. We sit there, and then the PDM guys are asking questions, was now left, because they must now, all the MPs, the members of parliament, that you see on the TV, that are there, and they are just rattling off questions, you know, to the management of these guys. But these guys gave us a presentation. And some of the expansion plans of the NAC is that the Luderitz airport has to be spruced up. Rundu, Katima, Grootfontein and I think it's Katima, or Grootfontein and Rundu, one of the two, are right next door to an NDF facility. Or one of them uses the runway with the NDF. The one is that they literally have to buy more land, or they have to buy the land from either the NDF or from the town council and expand on it. And the other one is literally that they've got to, you know, share the technically the facility
with the military,
with the NDF. So you've got those particular things. And then the other guys are obviously, you know, going to see their own sort of like still, if I can call it like touch-ups in terms of, you know, sprucing up. The last sort of like big surprise would obviously be the Kunene region. Because Kunene is going to be phase three of the green hydrogen development. But we've got another ad break creeping up on us.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always prepare,
Paratus. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Welcome back. It's 5 o'clock on the dot. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Now, where are we?
Yeah. So, okay, I'm gonna end there specifically saying that Kunene region is obviously the last of the phases, and because Kunene has got a huge developmental, if I can call it a deficit, I mean, in Kavango East, Kavango West looks bad on paper. And like you and I have obviously spoken about them and the development pathway. But when you think about Kunene, Helmut, Kunene is one of the big regions in the country. Yeah. Remember, it's Karas, it's Ochotonjupa, and it's Kunene. They are the big three regions of this country. Hartab, I'll keep Hartab to one side. Hartab has another issue on its hands, Helmut,
yeah.
Which I discovered once again by just going and looking at certain particular things again. Hartab is the region with the most villages. Population density is not the issue. It's how people are distributed. They're
all scattered.
Yeah, but here's the weird thing. They are scattered between commercial farms, private land. So this ultimately makes things difficult. So in essence, when you look at a map, you see only Rehoboth, Kalkrand, and Marienthal. And then you've got the other smaller guys like Klein Oop, because Groot Oop is the side of Rehoboth, meaning to the north. Mm-hmm. Klein Oop is on the other side to the south of Rehoboth, which is also a farming town community. But in Windhoek's context, Commerce's context,
yeah.
Groot Oop traditionally was part of Rehoboth. Groot Oop and part of the Hartab region. It's in the 90s and the early 2000s when the Commerce region decided to shift its regional border. And it incorporated Groot Oop. Because when traditionally Helmut, Windhoek's particular sort of like, if you can call Windhoek's like city limits, ended specifically here if you get through this pass, through this mountain range on your way out south.
Mm-hmm.
If you get past the pass, where you see the radio tower on the mountain.
Yeah.
That's where Windhoek ends. So obviously when you look at the planning that obviously took place at the national level, they decided, you know, let's expand commerce, let's do this, let's do that. And in context, traditionally, Groot Oop is supposed to be part of the Hartab region. But I move on because that's obviously now in the past.
Yeah.
When you sit and look at that picture, Namibia has land, Helmut, to grow. Meaning, whatever population growth that Namibia experiences, even if we're going to experience, let's say 100,000 refugees show up here,
mm-hmm.
Helmut, Namibia will be able to absorb them and we'll be able to accommodate them somewhere. The downside is, Rwanda is not that kind of a country.
Nope.
This also makes it very weird, because do you know what's the biggest issue in Rwanda's discussion in terms of us even thinking of Rwanda as a template to do something with? First and foremost, Helmut, we've got 800, like I said, 800 plus 1,000 square kilometers of land. You can fit 3 Namibians in 1 square kilometer.
That's how much land we have.
That's how much space you and I as Namibians enjoy. Oh, 3 guys in 1 square kilometer. So imagine yourself a box that goes 1 kilometer, 1 kilometer, 1 kilometer, 1 kilometer. That's your box. You guys won't even be able to see each other.
You guys will spend the whole day looking for each other.
Yeah. We'll be playing hide and seek in a very big box. 547 Rwandans in 1 square kilometer.
This is Albania Namibia energy, you know, energy comparison
once again, yeah. Once again, yeah.
Once again, because this committee went to Rwanda to try and understand how the Rwandan government is dealing with its land issues, in terms of distribution, what are the pros and cons that they are dealing with and how they manage to resolve them. And one thing that you can bet they were, you know, they ran into before, you know, they knew before they even went there was that our countries landmass wise, you know, we are at an advantage. Now, landmass is something that they are grappling with. Now, unless, you know, M23 comes up with a brilliant idea. But so far, they haven't done so good.
I still suspect that idea is part of the grand scheme.
It can be argued that way.
Yeah.
But one thing that you see here is that when it comes to solving these problems, policies are the first thing that you have to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Namibia, on the other hand, one issue that we have to deal with that Rwanda had never had to deal with is our double land tenure system.
Yeah.
We have to, obviously the first thing we have to figure out is, are we going to keep it in double way, or we are going to prefer one over the other and then get rid of the other one?
Yeah.
Because, According to the report, during the meeting with the Director General of the National Land Agency, NLA, the committee was informed that before the introduction of the land reform program in 2004, the country lacked a clear legal framework governing land management, registration, ownership, and transaction. And the lack of centralized land ownership data was, that's the keyword. Data. Centralized data was partly the reason why Rwanda had many land disputes that delayed development. Because, put in mind, this is infrastructure overall that we are talking about. Every country has developmental goals. You want to build enough hospitals to cater for, for the health sector, to cater for everyone. You want to build enough schools. You want to build enough roads in between all these different places so that the transport is not an issue. Because, all the initiatives that you have in mind is going to require transportation.
Yeah.
For, including the, whether it's railway or road, land is just needed. And, you know, even if you talk about flying from one place to another, you're still going to need an airport. So.
Yes.
Yeah,
you're still going to need the roads.
Yeah.
You're still going to need, potentially rail. Potentially.
Yeah. Unless you have, unless you can somehow manage to talk to your passengers into parachuting out of a plane. Midair.
And you obviously giving them the, what do they call it? The ride of their lives.
Yeah. Where you're going to land, whether you're surrounded by lions or not, it was nice. Please fly with us again. But,
we're looking for the repeat business.
Yeah, look, land is very central to development. Now, on us, when it comes to Namibia, obviously, the land discussion, or as in every discussion, is going to start with what policies do we have that's governing land distribution? And are the policies adequate enough?
Yeah,
because there's some inadequacies somewhere that we have to address. Now, land, on the other hand, policies are going to, by the way, and none of these policies that we're going to implement ever are going to be static. Everything will have to be molded to the needs on the ground.
Actually, that's a good thing you said that, Helmut. I went to a thing today. Obviously, I supplied some of it to Happy for the On the Radar.
Yeah.
And so, and this will obviously be one of our future discussions here on the Home Run. It's a specific strategic plan for the rehabilitation and assistive technology side of Namibia's public health sector through the Ministry of Health.
Mm-hmm.
This particular discussion, Helmut, is a result of an assessment that the World Health Organization did in Namibia last year about, you know, they are going as wide as base, wide and broad as possible to assess the capability of facilities and the human capital, meaning the people that work in these facilities, in terms of what services can they provide a growing Namibian population as the public health sector. Remember our statement, remember the caller that called in last year about the two psych wards?
Oh, yeah.
That Namibia, we are a growing population and we only have two psych
wards. Two mental institutions.
No. Mental health institutions.
Okay. Sorry. Health. Put health in there.
Helmut, you don't want people showing up. Please, please, please. They are the last people we want here showing up, beating us up.
Mental health institution.
Yeah. So, and they are public, ne?
Oh, yeah.
Those two. This particular subject matter, Helmut, is based from a changing dynamic. What was the changing dynamic? We became 3 million people. So you are spot on by saying policies are not going to be the same forever.
No, they're not.
They will have to be adapted
based
upon the changing scenarios, pictures, events, landscapes even, demand factors even.
Yeah.
So you're all right. You're all right.
Yeah. Land is not going to be static. Now, when it comes to dealing with basically
no,
any
your
problem,
land is going
to
be land is going to be there the whole time.
Oh, the land is going to be there. The policies. Yeah.
Yeah, the policies.
The policies are not going to remain static. And when it comes to, every time that we talk about, any change that's taking place on a national level, more often, the legislations governing that particular change will also have to be changed so that it fits the particular change that's going to be implemented.
Yeah.
Now, with the emergence, with the emerging industry like the oil and gas industry, what's the first thing that we started talking about, earlier on in the days and the discussion of the oil and gas industry? Local content policy. Do we have the legal framework to regulate this industry?
Yeah.
We're talking about in terms of extraction, environmental protection and the trade and all those things. Employment. Because, the oil and gas industry is one with very strict safety laws. Now, if one is, gets somewhat punished at work or more like dismissed at work, and they find themselves in the, at the labor commission or labor court, what you want is to have a strict laws that regulate the safety standards in that industry that you can apply to that situation. Because if you don't have the legislation, the employee will be like, what law did I break? So, Rwanda sets a very good example that the first thing they had to do was reform the laws so that they are clear cut. Because before 2004, they didn't have a legal clear frame, a clear legal framework governing land management. Now, this one, on the other hand, in Namibia, it's going to be a massive one. Why am I saying that? The Ministry of Agriculture have to, how many times have they gone out, especially in communal land areas, and, and cut down fences that were put up illegally?
And that is because of the communal land boards who were supposed to regulate such aspects of conflict.
Yeah. There are regulations in place on how you should fence land, But, you know, sometimes we just go with, well, we are still stuck in the olden ways of doing things that, that you know what, my family and I have been living here. And before we, you know, this house and this is, you know, when you grow up in the northern part of the Red Line, you hear stories like that. We have been living here, but before we moved here, we were living in that area. Therefore, that land, which is now not occupied by anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's still our land.
Yeah.
So anyone that occupies it will have to go through us. Not the Ministry of Agriculture, us.
Yeah.
Now, you see the problem. So.
I was gonna go with another one. In terms of like, some guys going like, you know what? Because, you know, I'm this rich guy from Windhoek. You know, I made my monies. I'm supposedly this important guy. I show up and an ad break.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
We're sorry, guys, because, you know, during our ad breaks, we have off-air conversations.
Which are not very current friendly. Yeah. But don't worry, you know.
All PGs are friendly sometimes.
It's just something that have to do with non-current friendly.
Yeah.
Nothing illegal. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
So, getting back to this report on Rwanda, the program that was implemented by the Rwandan government in 2004 was implemented in stages. In 2004, the country adopted a land management and administration policy followed by the enactment of the organic land law in 2005. Now, this law shifted land ownership from state control to the citizens, providing a legal foundation for land use, security of tenure, and efficient land allocation. In 2008, the National Land Agency, NLA, was established with the mandate of implementing Rwanda's land law by overseeing land administration and ensuring that citizens were able to benefit from the land reform.
Yeah.
The end goal, even the visit itself, the end goal is how can we make land distribution in Namibia work for everyone?
Yeah.
But because if it's not, if it's not to the benefit of the citizen, what's the point?
But that's the thing, Howard.
Yeah.
Remember, you said there is a dual system.
Here.
There's actually a triple system.
Triple.
Yeah. So you've got, no, actually four. But I count communal land.
Yeah.
Since communal land is in state land.
Yeah.
Together. I had an argument at home with my sibling, because I was basing that particular explanation of what the NSA presented back in the 2018 Second Land Conference.
Yeah.
That's their presentation. That's their terminology that I subscribe to.
land and state. Communal and state.
Communal land is state land. Because they had a lovely little map illustration, and it showed there the where the state land is and where all the farmland is, and they showed where all the urban settlements are.
Yeah.
And you could literally see that the state land and the and the private land are basically almost 50-50. It's almost like an equal split. They always almost took the same.
Yeah.
And it works in a lovely little almost like a
circular shape.
Not circular, but it looks like a it's square-ish. You know, up to a certain part in the Kunene region.
Mm-hmm.
And then down, it literally follows the line of where you can imagine where the Namib Desert starts.
Mm-hmm.
It literally follows that line all the way down into that, you know, no man's land discussion in Karas that is around Ludritz and Oranjemund. Literally all the way down. And then you pull the line, you follow the red line, because you can see where the red line is.
Yeah.
You follow the red line all the way to the east, and you get into the Zambezi region.
Yeah.
And below that, you then find the commercial farmland. And then you see the dotted isolations of where you find the urban settlements. From that particular illustration itself, Helmut, I stumbled upon a very old explanation of what private land is also explained as. Whether it's farming or whether it's in urban areas. Private land is known as freehold land. Hence the reason why I keep saying that that a title deed is stronger than the constitution of Namibia.
Yep.
Literally, Helmut. I'll say this again. It's the most watertight legal document that exists in this world. Now, the title deed discussion is something you can transfer from family member or from one generation to the next. Obviously, like inheritance discussions usually go. We sit with state land, which is like national parks. Then you sit with communal land zones, which they border and sometimes flow over national parks and, you know, those particular public land discussions.
Yeah.
You sit with private land within an urban area. And that also includes the public land, but I'll throw the public land here in the first quadrant. And then you sit with the private land, farmland. Now I'm asking you, Helmut, we sit with technically with a four tier system, but consider it basically triple because you technically have two commercial, two privates, and public is public. Because, you know, whether you're local authority or central government, you're still part of the same, you know, regulator basically.
Yeah.
We sit with a triple tier system. They had to convert this. From seeing that, oh my goodness, we need some sort of an innovation taking place in the economy. The innovation can only come from the most important ingredient in economic development, which is land. Here in Namibia, Helmut, we have to define what we actually want to do on the land. Hence the reason why I made the metaphor.
We have it.
We still need to know what sport to play, with what rules. We still have to find out what sport to play with what rules.
You see, it's a good thing you went to. We still have to find out what sport to play and what rules. Now, let me just take you way down to the way down to the bottom of the report. You're already laughing, I know.
Because you went like, wait, it's like we're dropping down a hole somewhere.
No.
Like down an empty well or an empty borehole.
Recommendations.
Yeah.
That's one heck of a list. That requires a lot of, central government and local authorities working together.
Yeah.
Now, one that I found was under recommendation 16.4, the government should fully service informal settlement land under flexible tenure arrangements and provide subsidies to support access to adequate housing and infrastructure for urban poor and landless.
Mm.
You know what that comes to? Money.
Of course.
Yeah, money.
Access to money, firstly.
Access to money.
And you do remember...
It's a very good recommendation, but it's going to require money.
No, but do you remember what was my one worry? We had this land discussion last year as well. You remember the concern I had in terms of if you give it to someone that doesn't have access to money, you give them land. You now ask them to do something with the land.
Like...
What is the closest thing they will do to get money? they will sell that land you just gave them.
Yep.
To someone that has land.
Yep.
So yes, you will be funneling and channeling and seeing a boom in land activity transactions. But will you really solve the issue at heart?
Thank you very much. Now, 16.5. Please. Now that one is for you. You're going to love this one.
Yeah.
The government should subsidize local authorities local authorities in terms of land servicing for housing development to lower cost and enhance the availability of affordable housing for underserved communities.
Mm.
Subsidize, because first of all, servicing land is never going to be free. You will have to pay for the water and the, for all the plumbing and the power, for all the power, erection that's taking place on that piece of land that you want to service.
Yeah.
And you need a system in place that will keep the system in place where that will keep the, all the plumbing in place. We're talking in terms of servicing it.
Yeah.
Because it's not made out of vibranium that it's going to last forever.
Really, you had to go to Wakanda?
That's my only...
You really had to go to Wakanda? Because I even looked out the door, I was like, really? He went
vibranium.
To vibranium?
Vibranium straight up. So, first of all, subsidizing is a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
But this, again, unfortunately for my head, it kept bringing me back to our, debt to GDP ratio.
Yeah.
In terms of, from the look of things, our debt to GDP ratio, our debt seems to be increasing. That will lower the amount of money that's left for development.
Yeah.
And then my mind took a different turn and went straight to our yesterday's discussion in terms of, dependence.
Yeah.
Yeah. The lack of diversification. So because, that's where the money is coming from.
And we will just say protect just that part,
yeah,
of the economy,
because we want to develop so bad.
Yeah, but we only want to develop right there.
Right there.
Nowhere else.
So step one, we already have a lot of laws regulating land distribution in Namibia.
Yeah.
Step one will be to look at all these laws and ask ourselves one question. Are they adequate enough to distribute land to work for all, for every Namibian?
Mm.
And did they, all this multiple land tenure way that we, system that we've been operating for a while now, are we going to change it into something else, or are we going to maintain it in the same way that it is? But now, this is obviously a lot of questions to answer for those ones that are, for the Ministry of, Environment and Tourism and Ministry of Agriculture.
And Minister of Urban and Rural Development.
Urban and Rural Development. Throw in, traditional authorities in that. And, I know.
I have no respect for traditionals. I'm sorry.
That's Dwight.
Because they are the guys at the heart of the communal land boards, Helmut.
Uh-huh. And they say a lot.
They are the guys that allow the illegal fencing to take place.
Well, some of the illegal fencers, like you pointed out,
is them.
Some of them is them. Some of them is those of us that are, you just win a tender here in Windhoek, you get yourself a Vrupa, then you just get yourself, you swing by, build it,
You're back with that example again.
Swing by, build it.
And what did I say? The Vrupa will be asking you, is this my purpose?
Like,
to be a loading car.
Like, look, four-wheel drive, I'm made for entertainment and stuff, but
yeah,
this whole loose end is not my thing.
And carrying poles, dart poles and wire.
I watched some videos coming out of East Africa and, they were, and also Asia, and the way that they load their cars. I'm asking myself, how is this legal? Someone is on top of a car.
Yeah.
Like literally sitting on top of a car.
Yeah. There's nothing I can add to that, Elmo.
Don't try that, don't try that in my country. Which made me appreciate our country more in terms of road. Now, infrastructure wise, roads, now that we have been congratulated a lot. We stand out, compared to a lot of African countries.
Yeah.
But housing is one that has always been a, pain in the eye. with all the free tertiary, tuition free tertiary next year, you can imagine urban areas are going to have, that problem of, accommodations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the flexibility in terms of, the flexibility of land distribution in terms of programs like mass housing. Oh dear. Rwanda seems to have a system in place.
Yeah. It's a nice system, but
apartments.
It also sounds similar, Helmut, to the thing that I heard last year from a Russian perspective, looking after children that don't have orphan children.
Yeah.
So when these children become 18 or 19.
Oh yeah, I remember when you said that, in
America. They're given free housing, which is a flat.
Here, when you turn 18, just say, okay, now that's the door.
Yeah. Firstly, they ask you, what is your plan?
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Vintook Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook Beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Olum Nangeshifa, Noahara Pushivifa, Oma Kuro Ekupitira Mohorike Radio Station, Oyo Eagle FM, Enyamukuro Olongaha, Ningekotafano na Monica, Koshikondo Shepindi, Konoraheta Tuime, Heari Mwe, Ne Heari, Imwe Mwe, Nohamano, that is 081-7147-116, Mamberewa, Konoraheta Tunatu, Bali Oheta Tuvatatu, Ne Nola No Natu, Nenge Tumo Emaila. Ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opomone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. It's 29 minutes left to the hour of six. So we still have 29 minutes left to go. So one of the infrastructure that's needed, one of the many piece of infrastructure that's needed to that needs land to work out is that of housing, and with the land scarcity now when you are sitting with a population of 13 point something million and you only have land mass the size of a Rongo to deal with. That's the one that you have to build all the housing for, all those 13 million. The roads and also, services like hospitals and schools on that piece of land. So you can imagine how depressing it can get, especially if you're a lawmaker. Now, the land, Rwanda is obviously like all other African countries dealing with a housing issue. Yeah. If we are dealing with a housing issue and we are 3 million, imagine 13 million. So the problem when it comes to housing becomes even bigger. So they decided to develop something, to come up with something called integrated development and model village. Mm. I think that's where your Russian example is coming from. You know, when you turn 18,
you have to look after. But the thing is, even Helmut, the basic need should be sorted. That's why I keep using that phrase. Take away a pressure from the Namibia's developing economy. Once again, I love statistics. I love data points. I love that it supports a particular discussion because you can't debate around the fact. The thing was counted, The thing was measured. Okay, you're in charge of the measurement. I accept your points. But now we see the glaring issue, which is like yesterday's discussion. The one about which sector is the sector that has given us 14 consecutive quarters of growth, which is problematic because it's one sector. It's not even agriculture worth mining. It's just mining. It's not even fishing worth mining. It's just mining. It's not even to say, and in between there, in that mining even, the Namibian government is not giving, even getting adequate returns or adequate income or revenue from the diamond, international diamond market. Namud.
And then there's a threat of lab-made diamonds.
Because of the lab, it was because of the lab mates.
Yeah.
And based upon that thing, it should tell everyone else in that room, whoever, from president to that CEO of Namdeb, diamonds are no longer the thing.
Yeah, they are headed a direction where they are most likely to generate less and less revenue with time. The more that lab-made diamonds occupy a larger part of the market, yeah.
And why is the central bank going to gold? Remember for our gold reserve discussion?
Yeah.
Why? Gold has been the mainstay for as long as humanity has ever thought about value. It has always been about gold. Okay, except us now for the guys here in West Africa and for the South American guys before the conquistadors show up.
Yeah.
Or when the conquistadors showed up. And Hernan Cortes, you know, obviously, homeboy was like, oh my goodness, you couldn't have asked for a better payday than today. I still want to know, what did Spain do with all that gold that they farmed?
I don't know, right?
What did they, and them and Portugal?
Farmed, stole.
No, it was a gaming term.
Mm-hmm.
In gaming, you are farming something. So you are just farming. Have you never played a strategy game, Hamlet? Like StarCraft or
someone recommended
Command and Conquer or
Hearts of Iron 4, but
that too, yeah. Even you have to capture territories,
yeah,
to get resources.
For some reason I like guns and cars. I don't own any.
You'll be part of the club that thinks, you know, that they can survive in a warfare zone.
No.
And then you've got friends like the one friend I had that told me, Dwight, you don't know how many people think that because they've played Call of Duty 5,000 times, they believe they can survive in a war zone.
You know why I will never think that?
Yeah.
Is because in most combat games, my favorite gun is a sniper.
Yeah.
And the movement that you do with a sniper rifle in a game is nowhere near the reality, because you know they say, okay, now look at things like a 360 degree shot, 180 degree shot.
Mm.
You have an opponent that's chasing you. Now, obviously, for better running, you must switch from a sniper because it's too heavy,
mm,
to a melee. Now you have to run straight where your back is facing the opponent,
mm,
and then switch to your sniper. And make a 180 degree turn, scope and fire all at once. In real life, no, what do we call people that actually hide like snipers do in real life and shoot? We call them campers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what
But in reality, that's what
snipers do.
That's what they do.
Not run around and perform all this jumping and stuff. That's one way to get your head blown off. But it's very tempting to think that though.
We've got to get back to our talk. But yeah, you were still saying about the land discussion.
Look, let's get back to housing just for a moment. Housing is it's one of the biggest problems we have to deal with. And now, Rwanda has had, according to the report, Rwanda has just a similar problem. Now, when you look at the population difference, you don't need a report to know that this is, they have, more like, 10 times more of the housing problems that we're dealing with. Now, Rwanda Housing Authority, RHS, the equivalent of the national, now this according to the report, equivalent of the national housing enterprise is an entity tasked with the overseeing development of of the IDP that, not individual, integrated development model.
Yeah.
Integrated development model village. Now, that integrated developmental village is something that was launched in 2016 to represent a holistic approach to addressing the challenges in urbanization, obviously. Obviously, they have, there's also a projection of increase in urban, in rural to urban migration. The same thing that we have here. So obviously that means you need to ramp up, housing, solving how the housing problems in urban areas. The same problem that we have here. Now, then they decided to come up with this, un momento, si vous plaît. The model, this is, the building now that is a very genius idea on how to deal with not enough land.
Mm.
Build on top.
Yeah, build upwards.
Yeah.
Not build outwards.
Which is,
which is what we said here also on the show.
Yeah.
We've mentioned this before. Remember our 78 billion for 78 years?
Yeah.
He was one of the guys that went there.
The 78? Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he was one of the counselors that went on this trip. But it is actually that particular striking comparison, Albert, yeah. Because I wish, and I really wish some of the CEOs and mayors of these local authorities get up and say this. You need to build upwards. You should not expand outwards. People just need the basics. They need a place to stay, water, electricity, and then they need access to roads. So if you keep everything close, Helmut, you can control expansion. You can control the resources.
You know who is very good at building upwards that I know, at least here in Windhoek, your alma mater?
Nice.
Yeah.
But no one has tried to emulate that thing.
They're just going, okay, now just one question is, are they building? Okay,
there are actually three other buildings.
Yeah.
It's the 77 on Independence opposite City of Windhoek.
Mm.
It's the Marinsky Tower. Then there's another building as high as the Marinsky Tower, also in Auschwitz, right opposite it. I call it because there are a lot of people there that stay there, but it's right behind DHPS school. I almost said the other name, but then I would have sounded just grand unfriendly. And then it's the Trift Tower on the other side of DHPS.
Yeah.
So there are these three buildings in Auschwitz. And then the space above Langerhans, the Langerhans pharmacy, also in Auschwitz.
Yeah.
Above it, there's also a high-rise flat. And then opposite it, that you get that other sort of like massive housing thing that stands there, that are also flats.
Yeah.
No one has tried to emulate those five examples that I've just mentioned here.
Yeah, you have two that side of that side of Mandumen Empire, the side of
Are you talking about the one opposite the 24-hour KFC?
Cosmos, those are also apartments, and you have Atlas
the Atlas building.
The Atlas buildings,
yeah. I thought that was an office building because that's where Millennium Challenge was.
I thought those were apartment buildings. So
I thought it was office buildings.
I have no idea. Now I thought they were apartments, but I'm not sure if they were apartments or or an office space.
Mm.
But the structures just look, very land saving. But the model village, we are back to Rwanda in the report. The model village is basically structured multi-story apartment settlement that provides housing for vulnerable population, such as those affected by natural disasters or living in high-risk zones.
Yep.
The integrated IDP, IDP for short, model villages provide residents with access to essential infrastructure service such as water, electricity, roads, schools, and all the necessity that needs, that makes an environment, that makes a society run.
Go to Ochumise, Helmut. Will you find a service station there?
Okay. Yeah, there's Namco.
No, but that is on Commerce side. Go into Ochumise.
Mm.
They don't have, and Ochumise is probably larger than Commerce. It probably is on itself, can compete even with Karatura's expansion with the informal settlements as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they only have a clinic from the Ministry of Health. They have one school, which is Mao Zedong. I am not sure if they've got a primary school. They don't have a service station. They're supposed to have a service station within at least two in that area. Hamoud, we are doing a disservice to us, thinking that just clearing land and building, you know, a complex is development.
Yeah.
What these guys just tell us here, what the Rwandans were looking at, a 360-degree viewpoint. If you're going to give people housing, you should be able to give them access to transport.
Yeah, you're looking at all the factors. Yeah, yeah. They are not only going to sleep. They will have to wake up and go to the hospital. Work. They will need schools.
Yeah.
Their kids, you know, they're obviously families that will be leaving.
They'll be moving up and down.
Yeah.
And you'll need the roads. And then you will need to position facilities close to them. If you look at the old layout of much of the older parts of Windhoek, you find a primary school and a high school in each one of them.
That's the same thing. That was pointed out in the Finnish education system report.
Exactly. And even this visit misses the point. Even. I'm sorry, guys. I already have a verdict out. But yeah, you were still saying about the ITP program.
Yeah, even more pain. Now the model village also includes communal gardens, playgrounds. You know, I'm hoping they also don't lose their cell phones at these playgrounds. But anyway, playgrounds, communal income generating activities and public gathering places to encourage community cohesion.
Yeah.
Again, Finnish education system. So, there are places where you should, last year when we were talking about the third place?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it seems like, Rwanda is way ahead of us on that one.
It is. And they already know that they've got a major problem staring them in the face. They will have too many people, too less land.
Yeah.
I want to add this in just before we reach our ad break at, 3 minutes from now. They also have a nice thing up regarding the ownership of land. The Rwandans realized that they needed to start something. They needed innovation. They needed some sort of development aspect happening quickly in the... When you said they converted from overall government land ownership,
yeah,
and decided to distribute to the citizens, they put in a clause that says you must make something of the land within 5 years.
Yeah.
You can't sit indefinitely on an empty piece of land.
Now that's a serious problem we're dealing with
here. In Namibia.
Yeah.
Here.
I want land. And then homeboy is given land.
Or homeboy gets the land and he sells the land. He didn't do anything with the land.
Isn't that, that's one thing that actually gets me, my
blood pressure pumping.
Blood boiling. And
that is unhealthy if it boils.
If it boils, I'm dead. You know, the temperature is usually what, like 36 is fine. And, 40, it won't even boil.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're gone. But, and believe me, I still want to live at least until month end. But, one thing.
Yeah, we all want to live till month end. Yeah.
And then next month again, I will also want to, I will want to live until month end and month after
still,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that you see here is that, this is the same reason why applying for a mining or exploration license today is more strict than it was in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because people kept getting them and kept selling them.
The same also with the fishing quotas thing.
Oh. Wait.
It was said disadvantaged people can now have preference, but you must prove that you've got a boat. And then I also thought about going there, showing up there. And I was like, I don't have a boat. So why would
elaborate on a boat before I show up with a canoe.
Okay, so before our minister that wanted a smartphone with an iPhone smartphone.
Two SIM cards, yeah.
Two SIM cards situation.
Mm.
back in 2018 or was it 2017, there were regulations that he brought in under his ministry that you as a Namibian, he was now encouraging broader participation. Namibians from previously disadvantaged positions, which is pretty broad, to participate in the fishing quota thing. And the fishing quota system was to be used as a, literally, a minerals beneficiation strategy. A clear cut one. You know?
Directly.
Directly. But then the downside was of things that happened in 2021, because there were messages going about of people that scored their quotas in 2021 for 2022. They were then immediately selling it to the highest bidder.
Now
you are sitting with a quota. You have no boat on your name, Helmut. You got a quota. But one of the requirements was you must have a boat or access to a boat. Obviously, it doesn't say how you get the access to the boat. But it was one of the...
Don't open up legal loopholes.
No, Helmut, we have to highlight the legal loopholes discussion because we've done it before.
So you can get one from Pablo Escobar, as long as you have a boat. We're good.
As long as you can prove that there's a boat. It obviously didn't highlight that. I mean, I read some of those things, I was like, eish, it's Christmas for some people. It's going to be Christmas for some people. So yeah.
You see, that five-year term,
yeah,
that would be a very good implementation strategy in terms of the legal framework. Because as much as we want something, I don't think we have a plan in mind of what we are going to use it for once we get it. Yeah. And we've seen this with, like you just pointed out, fishing quotas, and we've seen this with mining licenses, and now the requirements of getting an exploration or mining license, we just, kicked up a notch.
Mm.
You must prove prove that you actually have the financial capacity to carry out all the activities that comes with you going on an exploration journey.
Mm.
And like Mr. Shobon points out, eish,
300 million.
You have 300 million for one activity.
Just one.
Not production, not decommissioning.
That's pre-production.
Yeah.
That's way pre-production. That's pre-planning even.
I almost gave an example that would get us fired.
But before I continue, let's quickly get to our library here. Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever. This is the Velvice University September intake for 2025. For September, all programs are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences, Foundation Level 4. This is a one-year full-time program at all campuses. Certificate for enrolled nurse or midwife or accoucheur, level 6. This is a 2 years program, full-time, available at the Windhoek, Nkurunkuru, Combat, Walvis Bay, Katimamulilu, and Otapi campuses. Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences, level 6. This is a 2 years program, available full-time in Windhoek only. Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours. This is a 4 years program, full-time, available in Windhoek, Nkurunkuru, Combat, Walvis Bay, and Katimamulilu. Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing, Level 8. This is a one-year full-time program, available in Windhoek only. Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing, Level 8. This is a one-year full-time program, available in Windhoek only. Application period is from 1 May to 30 June 2025. For more information, call 061-225463 or 225462. Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever. You were still saying, in terms of, past the
example that I almost
the not so grand like, friendly example, yeah, you almost used. don't worry, guys, we won't tell you.
No,
we don't want to run that risk. Definitely not.
So, all in all, Rwanda doesn't have it, doesn't have it all figured out.
Yeah.
The committee was just there to look at, how Rwanda is dealing with their pros and cons in terms of land distribution. And Rwanda, out of the kindness of their hearts, just decided to share their, you know, some of the challenges they experienced before 2014, for example, in terms of land ownership and land distribution, and how they implemented it and how it's working out so far. And then, they also pointed out the, you know, their rural to urban migration, and also pointed out their projected population increase by 2050. And this is some of the challenges that they are looking at. Now, if you look at Namibia, on the other hand, we have our own, you know, we have our own challenge that we have to figure out how to handle them. We can't just copy and paste Rwanda's way of doing things. For one, we have a much bigger land compared to them.
Yeah.
By 2050, even if we reach 13 million, we'll still have, you know, enough land to work with, unlike them.
Yeah.
So, one thing that, you know, one thing that's very important to pick up from, you know, to pick up from the, from this as we conclude, is that whatever change that we are going to make, or whatever program that we are going to implement, just a very high, it will have to start with the policies. Now, when it comes to land ownership, we are already grappling with the, you know, with the with land ownership, you know, with understanding the more like 21st century land ownership.
Mm.
Hence the illegal fencing. We're still grappling with that. That means even some of the policy land distribution policies we have today, there are not a lot of people that understands them.
Yeah.
Take take the transitioning from a village to a local authority council or an urban area, for example.
Mm.
That requires a whole different land land ownership system, land distribution system. Now that requires you to have at least take for example a title. This is something that you have to register and acquire papers for the piece of land that is yours.
Yeah.
Now, that's something that we learned through Nkurunkuru, that a lot of people went like, why am I paying twice?
Yeah. Why must I pay for the first time to register the thing and the second time to transfer it into my name?
I will, it's either when the, it's either when the engagement was held, homeboy was absent, or someone did not explain it thoroughly as to how these things are going to work. So the current policies that we have, I think that's one thing that the report misses. The step one, explain the policies we have now.
Extensively.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
Over and over again.
Because the issue is going to be like this, Helmut. When you look at a place like Nkurunkuru, Nkurunkuru would then start to demand tax collection.
Yeah.
From that landowner in the town.
And why am I paying again?
Yeah.
Is the question that's coming.
That's why I made the statement yesterday. You don't have a traditional authority living in an urban area.
Yeah.
Traditional authorities usually live in rural areas.
Yeah.
So the systems of a traditional government don't apply to the systems of a constitutional republic, which we are. It doesn't.
Thank heavens, because some of it, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, a lot of arguments. I know, Helmut. I've seen those things in Rehoboth as well. And Rehoboth itself is one such particular slippery slope.
Yeah, look.
And that one is even based upon familial, you know, family bonds.
Issues.
No, not issues. Issues are something else. It's a system of clans.
We are related, so.
Yeah, we're related, so you get land. We're not
related.
So you buy your land.
You know, one thing I find ironic is that someone who is practicing, you know, land distribution that way, we still call on Eagle FM and go like, there is corruption going on. Like,
but they are part of the issue.
What do you mean there is corruption?
You are part of the issue, but yeah.
So
let me not be poking.
Explaining in detail the current land ownership, and if it's going to change again, I imagine consultations will be held, and before implementation.
Yeah.
So whatever change that's going to be made is most likely going to come from most likely going to come from the Ministry of Environment and Tourism, Ministry of Agriculture, and Urban and Rural Development. Traditional authorities will be factored in there.
Yeah.
Now, They came up with a list of recommendations that I'm counting 10. Create an autonomous national land agency responsible for land management, policy implementation, and coordination among local governments. Huh? What is urban and rural development for? And what are local authority...
But don't you see, Hamid, the recommendation actually speaks to divorce that centralized governance structure.
From the urban and rural development?
From the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development.
Yeah, okay.
However, we have to interrogate the particular looking or the particular viewpoint that they are applying. Hamid, we still haven't started the access, the Information Commission as yet. President Geingob signed the legislation, was gazetted at the end of 2023. No? End of 2022 for start of 2023. 3 years later on, where's the access to information? The access to information, no, it was 2023 for 2024. Where is that commission?
Now, what I'm looking at here is obviously the implementation is, these are lawmakers. This is their job.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they are not, if you are going to come up with an independent body that is going to be responsible for land management, is that going to complement, positively with the local authority legislations in terms of land distribution or Ministry of Environment and Tourism, Agriculture, Water and Land Reform and all those? Is it going to come up, now what I see is a lot of redundancies popping up everywhere.
Yeah, there is going to be a lot of redundancies because here's the next thing that's going to happen. So the local authorities have a association between themselves. It's known as ALAN.
The Association of Local Authorities
of Namibia.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's their name, ALAN.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys in themselves also have certain particular policies between them.
Yeah.
So the dispensation, the urban growth agenda, the true development agenda of Namibia, how is that? How is the current picture? What is the current picture looking like today versus if we have to follow that recommendation of the National Council, bringing in an entity that needs to supervise these guys?
Ouch. Again, another budget, by the way.
It'll be budget expansion, obviously.
Yeah.
And in between, we've got people that are talking about bringing back a national airline. But we already have a Namibian airline. It's a private company.
Sure.
I'm happy with that, Helmut.
Yeah, bring up back one Nelson Mandela back home to Soweto.
I'm happy with that, but we've got people that obviously are trying to find ways of really materializing one of the campaign promises, obviously, that the ruling party and the president has highlighted, bringing back a national airline.
They did professional consultations from the relevant aviation authorities, I imagine, before coming up with that, because again,
I also hope so.
Another budget.
I also hope so. Remember, that manifesto was put through an AI verification fact-checking thing.
Come again?
Yeah, the IPPR's first policy tracker for the year that I attended. On the report, it says, because they will talk about the establishment of a procurement court, something close to the small claims courts that Minister Tausap wanted to establish as early as possible. They cite obviously it's being cited in the manifesto as well, exceptions, the discussion of exceptions and so forth. The downside is that manifesto was fed into an AI fact-checking or verification system platform. And it is highlighted that thing seems to have been co-authored with a little bit of AI, impetus.
Yeah, that's a lot of... I'm going to apply technology, is why we invented it. But, you know, writing something is one thing. When it comes to implementing it, AI will be like, yeah, you're on your own, buddy.
Of course.
Yeah, now... Okay, look... whether it's a bring back in Namibia or, you know, the establishment of a procurement court, the question is, what are we going to do? Okay, what can we do? What are we planning on doing with the procurement court that we cannot do with the current court that we have? Because again, that's another budget. Because establishing of a procurement court or bring back in Namibia, all these are brilliant ideas. If you ask me, but the question is, do we have the money? Because this is an entire entity that we are talking about that's going to have its salaries,
pension structure,
exactly,
social security payments.
You're going to create employment, sure.
Tax payments. Where's the money going to come from?
If we have the money, go ahead.
Yeah, and some of the particular supposed commentary out in media commentary has been that certain particular private companies have been consulted with. It's a question of who's carrying the risk, Helmut. A national airline is not a joke. The issues that were plaguing
Air
Namibia in terms of...
The late
Air Namibia was cash flow issues. Cash flow issues were tied to the taxes that they were owing at the various airports that they had terminals at.
Now... That's the question.
Many people thought it was literally just the rental agreement that was hanging like a forgotten ghost over in Namibia. Well, it was that agreement was supposedly used as the main theme of things.
Yeah, the aviation industry is one of the most expensive to maintain.
It
because,
is
the aviation standards that you have to meet.
It is
really high in terms of safety because look, if you are driving a bus and you have a puncture. And, you can just stop the car, change the tire, and then proceed.
Yeah.
But if anything happens mid-air, it's not like you can solidify oxygen and call your technicians. You can't.
Yeah, or stop everything, or stop time even. Go like, you know what? I'm Thanos.
Abort
so
mission. Abort.
Let's pause it.
Yeah. So, Namibia versus Rwanda comparison in terms of land management for service delivery infrastructure expansion. Obviously, that feeds into service delivery was our discussion for today. And you can look up the difference between the two. And it's not that Rwanda has it all cupcakes and rainbow. They have their challenges.
Mm.
We were just there to look at what they are doing it, what they are doing with their, how they are doing their, how they are solving their land issues in terms of housing, road, or basically infrastructure in general. And if there's something that we can emulate from them that we can implement here, to, lighten our burden in the land distribution discussion. And I don't think, land tenure discussion pops up. You know, land use for those ones that are given land
to use
also pops up because, you know, once someone, you know, has land, they're like, okay, fine. I'll just turn it into a dust ball that's just gathering dust.
I'll sell it off.
Oh, yeah, just sell it off and then, you know, buy airtime, connect to Superway, call and complain about land. I love my country.
Don't grill our listeners, Helmut. Don't be like that.
Until tomorrow.
Until tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your program in our company, dear listeners. Let's see each other again. Same time, same place. Tomorrow will be, is it Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, there's cup football tonight. On that note.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.